So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I got a freaking Tom Cruise movie to pitch you.
Oh, does he run?
No, actually, his character in this one mostly just sits at a desk, so, you know, no running, unfortunately.
Oh.
I'm just messing with you. A couple of good cruise sprints for sure.
I was gonna ask you to get the hell out of here and put a hit on you.
What?
So what's this movie? Tell me about it.
Well, I was thinking we make another Top Gun movie.
That's a movie people have heard of.
It sure is, sir. So after we copy-paste the original intro, we're gonna get right into this bad boy.
Getting into this bad boy is tight.
All right, and so Maverick is a test pilot now, and he's working on this jet trying to get it to go to Mach 10.
Okay.
And this admiral wants to shut the program down, so Mav gets in a jet before he issues the order and frickin' does it.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Well.
And so this admiral guy is like, well, he's got balls, I'll give him that much.
That's a fantastic compliment. I say that all the time to, you know, people next to me at urinals.
What? Don't do that.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Anyway, then Mav gets a little cocky and pushes this thing even further, and it freaking disintegrates in midair.
Oh, my God, so he dies?
No, he's fine.
How'd he survive a midair disintegration at over Mach 10?
Well, we're gonna cut away.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, characters can survive pretty much anything if you don't show how they did it.
Very true.
So then Mav gets back, and obviously he's gonna be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, he just destroyed a multi-million-dollar aircraft. It's gonna be hard for him to stay in the Navy after that.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, Iceman from the first movie, he's a high-ranking commander now, so he steps in right at the nick of time to be like, actually, here's a job.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, so it turns out some bad guys are building an unsanctioned uranium equipment plant, so Mav has to go back to Top Gun and train some pilots.
Who are the bad guys?
Oh, it's this bad country, sir. Very bad.
Okay, which one?
One of the bad ones, that's for sure. Not good at all, this country.
What's it called?
Listen, sir, I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about what country this is, okay?
Okay, let me get off of that thing. Probably best to not get specific anyway.
Yeah, because Twitter exists now, all right? Let's just not go there.
Pretty smart. So why doesn't the Navy just blow this place up with drones?
Well, see, there's like GPS blocking and surface-to-air missiles and blind spots. Just the exact circumstances we need to make the movie happen, okay? So just go with it.
Okay, I will.
And this freaking target's at the end of this big canyon, and to hit it, they gotta hit this super precise exhaust port.
Oh, they gotta do a Star Wars.
No, it's not a Star Wars, sir. It's just some pilots flying through tight spaces trying to blow up an evil base by hitting a very precise target in an exhaust port.
That's a Star Wars.
No, it's not. It's just this movie where one of the best pilots is this kid that Mav is gonna mentor, and he's actually the son of someone he used to fight with back in the day.
This is a Star Wars.
Hey, shut up. So basically, Mav has a couple of weeks to train these pilots to do a Star Wars. Nope.
Dang
it. Anyway, so then he goes to talk to them in front of this building-sized American flag that they have set up in case someone needs to be inspired.
Sure.
And then at the podium, Maverick does that cool teacher thing, you know, where he's like, hey, you know the rule book? Just toss it in the trash. And then he tosses it in the trash.
Did they put a trash can next to the podium just in case he wanted to dramatically throw something into it?
Yeah, or maybe he specifically requested it. Who's to say?
Huh.
So anyway, then he's gonna start training these pilots, but he's having a hard time with Rooster, who's the son of his friend Goose that died in the first movie.
He died in the first movie!
Yeah, that's literally what I just said.
So?
So anyway, Rooster's not only mad at Mav about the death of his father, but also because Mav, like, messed with his papers at the request of his mom and took a couple years off his career.
Yikes.
And also sometimes Maverick is gonna kiss Jennifer Connelly, so we'll try to connect that to the first movie in some way.
Oh, good for him!
Anyway, so eventually Mav is having a real hard time making these pilots work as a team, so you know what he's gonna do?
Sweaty shirtless beach volleyball like in the original?
What? No, sir, come on, this is its own movie, okay? It's gonna be sweaty shirtless beach football.
That is slightly different.
But then Iceman is gonna die.
During the football game?
No, like off screen because he was sick, but that means that Mav no longer has his protector, so he gets fired and the Vice Admiral changes the mission parameters.
Oh no.
But then to prove that the mission can actually be done, he steals a jet and flies it perfectly.
They don't have any security around those things?
Nope.
Oh great.
So they go onto this mission, which seems impossible.
I feel like I'm having deja vu.
And so they're flying and flying, and it's very exciting and nerve-wracking. And people watching are gonna have toned glutes.
What?
Toned glutes. You know, from clenching their butt cheeks.
Oh, gotcha.
And Rooster's kind of having a hard time, but then he kind of lets go and taps into something inside himself.
The Force?
It's not Star Wars, sir. And so then they manage to do the million and one shots, and Rooster does it without even using his targeting system. What was that?
That was Chewbacca celebrating.
Oh, my God. So anyway, then they get out of there, and they get into a freaking dogfight with enemy jets.
Uh-oh.
And Mav is going to get shot down, and then Rooster's going to save him, but also get shot down.
And so getting shot down's not a big deal, I guess, huh?
Not for the good guys, sir, but for the bad guys, it's always lethal.
Nice.
So then Rooster and Mav sneak onto this enemy base, and it just so happens there's an operational F-14 Tomcat, which is the jet he flew in the first movie.
Oh, we're going full nostalgia coincidence.
Sure are, sir. So then they get into another dogfight, and they manage to survive, and then everybody's super happy for them.
Very fun.
Were those war crimes, though? I don't know, but everybody's super happy for them.
Amazing. So what do you think?
Well, you know what? I think it might be refreshing for people to have this kind of classic summer blockbuster again, you know? No superheroes, no over-the-top CGI, no sky beams, just a good original movie, you know?
Yeah, it's gonna be nice. Although it is a sequel to a super popular movie.
Well, yeah, we need some safety net for this to be successful.
So, you have a Doctor Strange sequel for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's gonna be called Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh boy, I bet we're gonna see some wacky multiverses.
Oh, you know it, sir.
Oh man.
Briefly.
What? Glimpses of them for a minute or so, they're gonna flash by.
Oh, okay, that's alright.
Yeah, and then we're gonna pretty much be in the same 2-3 universes for the whole thing. The person who can jump universes can't control her power.
Oh, that's too bad. So who is this character?
America.
Captain America? But that's not possible. At the end of Endgame, he turned into Joe Biden. No, this character's name is America Chavez, and she got so scared of a bee that her mom's disappeared.
What? They're gone, sir.
But what about this America character? Tell me about her character development.
I just did.
Oh, all right. So America has the power to open portals between universes, but it only happens when she's really scared.
Bummer.
And so at the beginning of the movie, she's with this alternate Doctor Strange, and he gets killed by this big eyeball tentacle monster.
Oh, very exciting.
Yeah, and they end up in our dimension, so our Wong and our Strange fight this monster.
Oh boy.
So they're fighting and slicing, and eventually they do this special hand move and stab it in the eye.
Probably should have led with that move.
Maybe. So then Doctor Strange goes to see Wanda, but it turns out she's the one who's trying to capture America.
What? Why?
Well, she wants to use her powers to go be with her kids from WandaVision, but in another universe. I thought we kind of had her work through all that in WandaVision. Yeah, but then she read an evil book, so that just undid all that, and she's pure evil now.
See, this is why I don't read.
So it turns out she's the one who sent that interdimensional tentacle monster thing. How'd she have access to that interdimensional being?
Unclear.
Wait, hadn't she like made her kids up or something?
She had, yeah.
Can't she just do that again?
No.
And I guess she wants to go see Vision too, huh?
No. Why not?
Because.
Can't she work with America to find a universe where the Wanda's dead but the kids are alive?
No.
Why not?
So the movie can happen.
Alright, well it seems like this is happening.
It is, and so now Doctor Strange has to protect this girl from Wanda.
Man, so what does she do?
Well, Wanda attacks and kills a bunch of sorcerers, and Doctor Strange and America zip over to another universe.
Oh boy, what's going on in this universe.
Oh, it's real wacky, sir. Red traffic lights and green traffic lights are switched, and pizza is balls.
Oh.
No, like they're balls of pizza.
Oh, okay.
So eventually, they get brought in front of the Illuminati.
Oh, who are they?
Now, we're talking Captain Carter, Maria Rambo, Captain Marvel, Black Bolt, Professor X, and Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, they're all from things.
They sure are, sir.
Oh, boy. Sometimes I recognize thing, and my brain releases fun chemicals.
Hell yeah, sir.
Hell yeah. I'm familiar with some of the things you said.
Fantastic. Sir. So Doctor Strange tries to warn them that Wanda's gonna come kill everybody, but they're like, yeah, no, we can handle her.
Uh-oh, Wanda's on her way?
She is. She does this thing called dreamwalking, where she can control alternate Wandas.
Not good.
So then Reed Richards, the smartest man in the universe, is like, Wanda, you better back off, because Black Bolt here can destroy you with one whisper from his mouth.
One whisper from his mouth? That's a weird way to phrase that. Where else would a whisper come from?
But then Wanda's gonna be like, what mouth? And his mouth is gone.
Oh, he was setting her up for a one-liner. That's why he said it's so weird.
Yeah.
So then what happens?
Well, then Black Bolt blows his own mind.
I feel like it's weird that the smartest man in the universe told her exactly how to kill him.
Hey, shut up. And then she kills them one by one, and she can alter reality, so it's pretty brutal.
So what happens to Mr. Fantastic?
Oh, spaghetti?
Oh, Fantastic Spaghetti is tight.
Sure is.
And what does she do to the others?
Well, then she decides to stop altering reality so we could have a little action scene, and she makes something fall on Captain Marvel and crushes her to death.
That doesn't seem like it would hurt Captain Marvel.
Yeah, but it does, because this is just a cameo.
And what about Captain Carter.
50% off.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good deal.
So now Strange and America and an alternate Christine Palmer have to run away from Wanda through these tunnels, and they're closing blast doors, but she's just going through them.
Uh-oh, so what do they do?
Well, eventually they close a blast door behind them, so then they stop and turn around to see if she'll get through.
Why wouldn't she? She got through all the others.
Yeah, well, they're gonna stop at this one, because Wanda's gonna do a fun little jump scare.
Oh, very scary.
It is. So eventually Wanda catches them and captures America.
Oh, no.
And so she uses America's powers to send Doctor Strange and Christine to this destroyed universe where there's this evil Doctor Strange.
Oh, so Strange has to fight an evil version of himself?
Yeah, he does. They're gonna have this musical fight.
Oh, like a rap battle?
No, like throwing musical notes at each other with magic.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I like my thing a lot better.
Well, that's too bad, sir. So then Doctor Strange uses that evil book to dreamwalk into the corpse of that dead Doctor Strange.
Oh.
Yeah, so then he's gotta go zombie fight Wanda with a bunch of souls of the damned, and Christine's gonna kinda coach him on what to do.
How does she know what to do?
Unclear, but then they realize to defeat Wanda, they have to use America's powers.
Well, that's gonna be hard to do since she doesn't know how to use them.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, Doctor Strange tells her to believe in herself, and so, you know, that does the trick.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
Yeah, the power was inside her all along or whatever. So she sends Wanda to another dimension and sees her kids, but they're scared of her, so she realizes she's kind of a monster.
Wow.
Yeah, so then she collapses a temple onto herself.
Jeez.
So at the end of the movie, America is training to be a sorcerer, just like Doctor Strange.
She's not trying to look for her mom's?
No, she's not.
Well, okay then.
So what do you think?
Well, I think it sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm just trying to think of some cool Reed Richards casting, right? You know, something that'll get people talking. Any ideas?
Nope, no ideas.
Wait, do that again? Do that again, but look to your right.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, I know exactly who to get. So, you have a new Jurassic World movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Amazing, I can't wait to see what's going on with, I don't know the characters' names.
Nobody does, sir,
but according to Wikipedia, their names are Owen Grady and Claire Deering.
Oh, well, fantastic. So what happens in the movie?
Well, it's been 4 years since about 50 dinosaurs escaped at the end of the last movie, so now they're all over the world.
How did that happen?
Look, do you want to see dinosaurs out in the real world or not?
I mean, yeah, of course. That's like the main thing I want to see.
So stop asking so many questions.
I asked one question.
Well, cut it out.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I forgive you, sir. So now the dinosaurs are all over the world, things aren't going too well.
Well, I can't wait to explore what the world is like under those conditions.
Oh, and explore that we will, sir.
Oh boy.
And a quick Now This News segment at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, that's it?
Well, mostly, yeah, because then we gotta get into the storylines the fans have really been asking for.
Which are?
A kidnapping plot and a bug problem.
Oh, I didn't know that's what...
Yeah, that's what the Jurassic fans have been clamoring for, sir. Bug swarms and farming issues and the kidnapping of an angsty teen.
I guess that is the natural progression from a Dinosaur Park movie.
Yeah, so Owen and Claire, who both have names, and that's what they are, they've been hiding that Maisie girl from the last movie.
That makes sense. I mean, she's the one who let all the dinosaurs loose and caused the deaths of a bunch of people.
Oh, no, nobody really seems to care that she did that.
Oh, she's directly responsible for the chaos.
No, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's actually this company, Biosyn, that's after her, because they want to study her blood.
What's their deal? What are they up to?
Well, this company's actually run by Dodgson, remember, from the first movie? He was briefly in the original movie, ever so briefly.
He sure was, sir. Amazing. So what's his deal now?
Well, now that many years have passed, he's transformed into Apple CEO Tim Cook.
What?
And Tim Cook wants to control the world's food supply, so he created these giant locusts that destroy all crops except Biosyn crops.
Very evil.
Yeah, so Biosyn kidnaps Maisie and Beta, this baby that Blue the raptor had, so Owen and Claire are gonna have to deal with that.
Okay.
And meanwhile, Ellie Sattler and Alan Grant and Ian Malcolm, they're gonna deal with the bug problem. They're from the original movie.
That's right, sir. We're bringing back original beloved characters many years later. Is there any other way to make money these days?
I know, right?
No, seriously, is there? Because we're rapidly running out of iconic characters to bring back. Please help.
Oh, yeah, no, I got nothing.
Dang, okay, we'll figure it out eventually.
God, I hope so, sir.
So Owen and Claire track Maisie and Beta down to this black market dino thing in Malta.
Okay.
But there's this evil lady, Santos, who can make raptors attack people by pointing a laser.
Uh-oh.
So just as she's getting arrested, she points a laser at the good guys.
Oh, man. Well, I bet we haven't seen the last of her.
No, we have.
Oh, okay.
So then Claire's gonna have to outrun a velociraptor on foot.
How is that possible? They're incredibly fast.
Well, she's got a little trick up her sleeve where she's one of the main characters so she can do it.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so then this pilot, Kayla, helps them escape, and they head over to Biosyn headquarters in the Dolomites, which is also a dinosaur valley.
Oh, that's the most exciting type of valley.
Sure is, sir.
So meanwhile, we're gonna meet up with Ian Malcolm, who's working at Biosyn.
Okay.
And he's brought Ellie and Alan over to help him uncover Tim Cook's sketchy plans by getting a sample of one of these giant locusts, because, you know, they're both respected individuals.
Yeah, they gotta stop Tim Cook from making bugs, for sure.
And there's also this guy Ramsey there, and at the end of the movie, we're gonna find out he also wants to expose Tim Cook.
If Ian and Ramsey were already working at Biosyn, why didn't they get the evidence and bring it to Ellie and Alan?
So the original cast can reunite and we can do the thing that every blockbuster has done for the past 7 years.
That makes sense.
So anyway, while they're sneaking around the Biosyn labs, the plane is gonna get attacked by some flying dinos.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and there's only one parachute eject thing working, so Owen's like, well, Claire, we're gonna launch you into the dino-infested jungle because you got the best chance of finding Maisie.
Isn't he an ex-Navy dinosaur trainer?
Yeah, why?
Never mind.
So then Owen and Kayla's plane crashes.
Oh my god, so they die?
What? No, they're fine.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, it's just a plane crash, sir. This is an action movie. That's how planes get to the ground.
Right, fair enough.
And then this really cool-looking dinosaur's gonna attack them and Owen's gonna fall through some ice.
Oh my god, hypothermia.
Sir, if a big plane crash didn't hurt him, do you think some cold water's gonna do anything at all?
That's a good point.
So anyway, eventually we find out that Dr. Henry Wu is the one who engineered the locusts for Tim Cook, but he feels bad about it now.
As he should. I mean, that guy made the dinosaurs too. He's caused tons of death.
Yeah, but he feels bad about it now, so he's pretty much a good guy.
Oh yeah, no, okay, I see that. I like this guy now. He's a good guy now.
And also, we find out that Maisie's not actually a clone.
Oh, she's not?
No, turns out her mom was actually a scientist who gave birth to a version of herself with changed DNA that didn't have the genetic disease that she had.
Oh, giving birth to yourself is tight.
What?
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 What? So anyway, Wu needs to study her blood so he can stop the locusts and save the world.
The locusts he made?
He's a good guy.
He is, yeah.
So eventually, Tim Cook's gonna find out that he's gonna be exposed and he burns all the locusts, but they escape and cause a forest fire.
Whoops.
Whoopsie, and Owen's gonna choke a dinosaur.
He's gonna choke a dinosaur?
Well, sir, earlier in the movie, he's gonna stop an 8,000-pound dinosaur in a full sprint using his hands, some rope, and a tree stump, so I think he can choke a dinosaur.
That's unbelievable.
I know, right?
No, I mean, I don't believe that could happen without his arms snapping off.
Well, it's gonna,
and then Tim Cook is gonna die, and a Gigantosaurus is gonna terrorize the group.
Uh-oh, gonna be hard for them to survive a Gigantosaurus encounter.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see all the good guys do the hand thing, and then a T-Rex pops out and saves the day.
Wait, the hand thing?
Yeah, you know the thing where Owen puts his hand out, and then all the dinosaurs are like, whoa!
Right.
It's like a Jedi Force move, you know, the hand thing.
Wasn't that like a thing that just barely worked on the raptors he trained for years?
Hey, shut up. So then the T-Rex shows up, and he does a little branding detour.
Nice.
And he's gonna team up with his friend Wolverine Dinosaur and kill the Gigantosaurus, so it's gonna be a nice triumphant moment.
Oh, hell yeah. That'll teach that dinosaur to be a dinosaur?
Yeah, got him, sir.
Wow.
Yeah, and so then iconic good guy character Dr. Henry Wu engineers a thing to stop the locusts.
Does he see any repercussions for all the terrible stuff he's done?
He does not. So then at the very end of the movie, dinosaurs and humans and animals have kind of learned to coexist, and you know what? It's pretty nice.
Wait, how did the events of the movie lead to that happening?
Oh no, that part worked itself out in the background.
Oh, well, great.
It worked out fantastic. So what do you think?
Well, it sounds like money.
Yeah, you think critics will like it?
But no, I didn't say that.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
I was thinking we do a Buzz Lightyear spin-off movie.
Oh boy.
What?
Okay, so check it out, sir. We're gonna start the movie with some text saying that in 1995, a kid named Andy saw a movie, and that made him want a Buzz Lightyear toy,
and this is that movie.
So this movie is a movie in another movie's universe?
That's right.
So the Toy Story universe has a screenwriter guy and a producer guy of their own, and they made money off this movie, and now so will I.
I guess so.
Oh my god, my man, you're making money for versions of us that don't even exist.
That's right, sir.
I love you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm
in love with you.
All right.
Hey, can we have Buzz Lightyear watch a movie in this movie and then make that movie someday?
We can do whatever we want, sir, as long as it's derivative of intellectual property with a proven track record of financial success.
Of course, of course.
So tell me about this thing. I guess since it's a 90s action movie that Andy saw, there's gonna be a bunch of over-the-top action and cheese, huh?
Aha! No, none at all.
Oh.
Yeah, actually kind of grounded and serious.
But Buzz was like an over-the-top parody of action hero and sci-fi archetypes.
Yeah, exactly. So none of that.
And now that I think of it, most of the fun came from that conflicting with the realization that he's a toy.
Right. So now he's a fairly serious human character.
So you took out the fun parts.
Yeah, get those out of here.
Okay, well at least we'll have Tim Allen's iconic voice.
No, get that out of here too.
So this is pretty much a different character, but wrapped in Buzz Lightyear branding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, well I can't wait for him to go on a bunch of space adventures on a bunch of different planets.
Oh, I bet, sir. This is gonna take place on one planet, though.
But what about to infinity and beyond?
Oh yeah, they're gonna say that a lot, but then the whole plot of the movie's about them being stuck on this one boring planet.
Okay, okay, okay. So alright, so how does this play out?
Right, so Buzz and his best friend Alicia are leading this, like, space exploration thing, right? And they got a bunch of people in cryosleep on their vessel.
Okay.
And so they land this big old vessel with everybody on board on this planet to see if it's livable or not.
They just go ahead and land the entire vessel with everybody on it? Why wouldn't they send, like, a scout ship or something?
So the movie can happen, but then it turns out this planet is hostile, and then Buzz accidentally crashes the ship, so they're stuck there.
Oh, no.
So then a whole year passes, and they've set up this colony there, and they're trying to recreate this hyperspace fuel that they need to get off the planet.
Okay.
And so Buzz volunteers to test the hyperspace fuel, but while he's up in space, it turns out it's like an interstellar situation.
Oh, getting stuck in a bookcase with Matthew McConaughey is tight.
Yeah, no, that's not what I meant. See, there's actually time dilation, so he's up in space for 4 minutes, but 4 years have passed on the planet.
Oh, geez.
So obviously Buzz is a little freaked out, and he's given this therapy robot cat called Sox, who's just the cutest little merchandising opportunity.
Oh man, we're gonna sell a bunch of toys thanks to this movie about a fictional movie that made a fictional kid want to buy some fictional toys that we then sold a bunch of in the real world. Did I get that? Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think so, sir. The point is, Sox the Cat toys will be sold in the real world for real money.
Okay, money.
So then Buzz keeps on testing this fuel because all he cares about is the mission and fixing his mistake.
But 4 years pass every time he tests it.
Exactly. And so meanwhile, his friend Alicia is growing old and starting a family in a way that'll fuel Twitter arguments for several days.
What?
And eventually Buzz comes back from a trip and Alicia has died.
Oh yeah, that happens to people after an extended period of time.
So Buzz is very sad, but also he learns that Sox the Cat has developed some hyperspace fuel that probably works.
Oh, well, fantastic.
Yeah, except there's a new guy in charge of the colony now.
Oh.
And he's decided that these missions are over and they're all just gonna kinda live on this planet now.
I guess that makes sense if they're all settled and they have families there and stuff.
Yeah, so they try to take Sox the Cat away from Buzz.
Feels like he'd need that thing more than ever.
Yeah, well, they don't want him to have it anymore.
So why didn't they take it during the many years he was gone?
Unclear. So then Buzz escapes with Sox and they head towards the spaceships to try out the new fuel.
Well, it's gonna be hard for them to just take a ship with everybody after them.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it turns out nobody really goes to guard the spaceships, even though that's obviously where he's heading.
Oh, well, great.
And then they successfully fly at hyperspeed.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Wow.
Yeah, except now they get back and 22 years have passed and the planet's been invaded by these robots and a bad guy named Zurg.
He's from the original movies.
He sure is, sir.
Amazing. So what's Buzz gonna do?
Well, he's gonna meet Alicia's granddaughter and these two other new recruits that aren't very good and he's gonna have to learn to work with them.
Okay.
So then the next little chunk of the movie is gonna be them making mistakes and then fixing those mistakes.
Good way to fill up some runtime, sure. So what does Zurg want exactly?
Oh, well, we're gonna have this big twist where it turns out that Zurg is actually an older Buzz from the future.
Didn't we establish in Toy Story 2 that Zurg is Buzz's father?
Hey, shut up, and so it turns out that this Buzz traveled far into the future and then came back but ran out of fuel right now, so he needs more fuel from this Buzz to keep going back and stop the original mistake that led to this whole thing.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Yeah, cause see, he's obsessed with completing the mission, but now if he does, he's gonna wipe out all the new families that sprang from that mistake.
Oh yeah, no, that's not good.
And our Buzz was obsessed with completing the mission too, but now he sees that maybe the real mission was the friends he made along the way.
Oh my god, you okay?
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what that was.
All right.
So why did this older Buzz go by the name Zurg?
Well, he tried to program all the robots to say Buzz, but the closest they got was Zurg, so he went with that.
Ooh, big stretch, buddy.
Oh, is there a dog in here?
No.
Oh, okay, so then our Buzz decides to destroy the fuel and sacrifice his mission to save the colony.
Nice, so what do you think?
Well, you know, I kind of think if Andy had seen this movie in 1995, he would have wanted a Sox the Cat toy instead of a Buzz Lightyear toy.
Yeah, that's a good point. He is the best character in this thing, but other than that, what do you think?
I mean, we're cashing in on a popular 1990s movie. I feel like that's a sure way to dominate the box office.
Amazing.
Unless, you know, another franchise happens to be doing that exact same thing at the exact same time.
What? So, you have a Sonic sequel for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Amazing. So do we stick with the cute Sonic design, or do we go back to that original Nightmare one we had?
I mean, I was thinking the cute one.
You sure? Because we got a ton of press from the one that looked like it drank blood.
Yeah, no, I think we go with the cute one for sure.
Okay, so what happens in this thing?
Well, Sonic's human friends Tom and Maddie travel to Hawaii, right? Using one of Sonic's portal rings.
Kind of raises some security questions that they could just travel that way.
No, it doesn't. So they gotta go there because Maddie's sister Rachel's getting married there at whatever luxury resort gives us the most money for product placement.
Oh, I like the sound of that. I'm gonna get Four Seasons on the phone.
So Sonic is left at home alone, and that's when Robotnik's gonna come for him.
Oh no, how does he manage that?
Well, since the events of the first movie, Robotnik's been on another planet eating mushrooms, trying to communicate with other planets.
Been there.
And eventually a portal opens and Knuckles the Echidna comes through.
He's from the games!
He sure is, sir. He's red.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, so Knuckles wants to know where Robotnik got this blue Sonic quill, because he's trying to find something called the Master Emerald.
Okay.
So Robotnik says he can show him the way so he can get off this mushroom planet.
Smart.
And he's gonna do that flossing dance too. That's gonna be fun for kids.
Okay, I mean, people already said that was old when we did it in the last Sonic movie.
Well, that's the thing about internet references, sir. They just get better with age.
That's not accurate.
So anyway, now Robotnik and Knuckles are at Sonic's door, and Knuckles is beating the crap out of him.
Oh no.
Yeah, and Sonic's trying to use his super speed. But he's no match for this guy, because he's fast too.
Jeez, well, sounds like he's met his match. Gonna be hard to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because see, Tails drives in with a cop car and hits Knuckles with it.
He was able to dodge the fastest creature on the planet, but not a human vehicle?
That's what we're going with. So he and Sonic run away.
And so why is Tails here now?
Well, he's been watching Sonic from another planet for a while and decides to come help him.
Watching people from a distance is tight.
Yeah, well, to be honest, it's creepy when you do it, sir, but Tails is cute, so it's okay.
That's fair.
So they go take a look at this map that Longclaw the Owl had left Sonic, and this hologram message pops out.
Why does it activate now?
Because the movie's plot is underway now.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So they find out they need to go to Siberia to get their hands on this compass that'll lead them to the Emerald.
Very chilly.
So they end up in the Siberian bar wearing disguises, but their disguises get taken off.
Oh, is everybody freaked out by the two little aliens in their bar?
No, that's not how people would react. They're gonna challenge them to a dance-off, obviously.
What? Why?
Because this way we can have a dance-off scene.
Right.
Plus the Siberian people get a hold of the map, so if Sonic wants it back, he's gotta dance.
He can move so fast the time stands still.
He's gotta dance, there's no other way, so he and Tails dance to Uptown Funk.
Or the hottest track of 2014.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they win?
They do.
Amazing.
So they're gonna end up finding the compass up in these mountains, but Knuckles and Robotnik swoop in and steal it.
Oh no.
Yeah, now there's an avalanche, so they've gotta do something.
So what do they do?
Well, Sonic calls Tom and tells him to use a portal ring to bring them to Hawaii, but Tom realizes he switched up the portal ring with the wedding ring.
Oh, so he goes and explains the mix-up to her?
Well, no, because if he explained it, there wouldn't be much room for comedy, so he's just gonna try to grab the ring during the ceremony without any context.
That is funnier than him trying to solve it rationally with his words.
That's right, sir. So then Sonic and Tails and an avalanche come through a portal into the wedding.
Very wacky hijinks.
And then we find out that Rachel's fiancé and the whole wedding party, they were agents this whole time.
What?
Yeah, they had one of their guys get into a long-term relationship with Sonic's human sister-in-law so they could hopefully trap Sonic one day.
That doesn't make any sense.
They planned a whole wedding, flew all their agents to Hawaii, booked a luxury resort, all because they wanted to catch Sonic.
How could they have even known that Sonic would show up there? He was just escaping an avalanche.
Yeah, no, they didn't know. How could they have predicted the avalanche? They didn't know he'd be there.
If they knew he was involved with that family, why not just show up at the house instead of fake seducing and marrying
marrying the sister-in-law.
Oh, well, don't worry, sir, because they actually did fall in love.
What? Who, the sister and the agent?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, at first, when she finds out, she's going to be very mad. She's going to go all Bridezilla, rampage around. She chases him around and everything, drives a golf cart, looks badass.
Okay, and where's Sonic during this whole thing?
But when the agent finally gets a chance to explain himself, he's going to explain that he really did fall in love with her, even though this started out as just a plan.
This is a Sonic movie, right? Where is he?
So they're going to be all right, sir. This agent and Rachel, I think they're going to be all right.
Why are we spending so much time on this? Where's Sonic?
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, I guess we could be done with this random romantic comedy shoved into the middle of this movie with side characters that have little to no impact on the plot. Okay, back to Sonic.
I mean, yes, please.
Anyway, so in the meantime, Robotnik got his hands on the Emerald, which lets him, like, create anything he wants.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so they see this massive sky beam from the coast of Hawaii, so Sonic's got to get there.
Well, thank God the wedding happened to be taking place within visible distance of the Emerald.
Yeah, it worked out great.
Hey, so hold on. We have a sky beam and a bad guy with similar powers but a different color?
Yeah.
We making a frickin' Marvel movie over here?
Well, kinda, sir, except by the end of this movie, Knuckles is gonna be a good guy.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he learned the power of friendship and whatnot.
Oh, sick!
So Robotnik's gonna create this giant Eggman robot and they're gonna have to fight it.
Very exciting.
So then Sonic turns into Super Sonic and he cuts the head off this robot and he pushes Robotnik down from hundreds of feet in the air.
Oh, my God.
What?
Sonic just straight up kills a guy? Even Batman pretends to not do that.
Well, we don't know if he's dead or not.
Right, but Sonic knocks him down from a fatal height and doesn't help him.
Yeah, he does.
That's pretty intense.
No, it's not, actually. So then everybody's friends and everybody's happy and don't think about that pushing a guy to his death thing too much, and they play baseball with Knuckles.
Wow, well, it sounds like a fun movie, you know?
Yeah, it will be. Plus, in this one, Jim Carrey's gonna have the big mustache and the bald head like Robotnik.
Ah, so maybe in the next movie, we could put him in a big round fat suit, you know, complete the transformation.
That'd be kinda perfect, sir. I don't see why we couldn't do that.
So, you have a new Batman movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And I'm thinking we make this the darkest Gotham yet.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We're gonna make it seem like this city passed some kind of weird one light bulb per household law.
Sounds very dark.
You know it, sir, because we gotta make these movies darker and darker and darker and darker. That's just good business.
How do you figure?
Well, sir, we keep going like this, pretty soon people will pay to see a completely dark screen, and we could play some kind of Batman audiobook or something.
Oh, that will save us a ton of money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So who are you thinking for Batman?
Oh, I was thinking we get Robert Pattinson.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Twilight, vampire, vampire, bat, Batman. Very clever.
Actually, no, it's just because he turned into a real good and accomplished actor since the Twilight movies. Good time?
I'm enjoying myself, sure.
That's, never mind.
All right.
So anyway, as Batman, he's gonna be dark and brooding, right?
Okay.
But then as Bruce Wayne, he's gonna be brooding and dark.
You need that dichotomy, yeah.
Yeah, and he's gonna have dark eyeliner and hair in front of his face and say stuff like, "You're not my dad," like it's 2006 or something.
Nice.
And this guy's Batman suit is totally bulletproof. I mean, bad guys just unload machine guns onto his chest, and he's not affected in the least.
Yeah, so I guess his mouth must be covered too, right? Otherwise, they could just aim at that.
No, that's completely exposed, but nobody's gonna shoot at that part.
Why not?
Because
that works. So who's he going up against in this movie?
Oh, several bad guys, sir. The main one of which is the Riddler.
Oh, that guy riddles, sir,
does, sir. So he's going around killing corrupt people in power and leaving little riddles for Batman.
Oh, I bet he is.
So then throughout the movie, Batman's gonna look at these riddles and then solve them pretty much immediately.
Nice.
But sometimes he doesn't solve them immediately, and that means he's gotta go stand on a rooftop with Gordon or Catwoman for an extended period of time.
That makes sense.
So he's gonna start digging around Gotham's criminal underground, right? Getting to know the sketchy figures and stuff.
Who are we talking about here?
There's friggin' Carmine Falcone, and then there's the Penguin, who's Falcone's right-hand penguin.
Oh, we got Penguin in the movie. What's he gonna do?
He's gonna be like, "Hey, oh, what are you doing?"
A very Italian-American flightless bird.
That's right, sir. So obviously I was thinking we get Colin Farrell to play him.
What?
Yeah, just cover the guy in so much makeup and prosthetics that even after people Google it, they're still like, "Really?"
All right, I mean, I guess we could do that, sure.
And so eventually Riddler's gonna attach a bomb around the neck of this corrupt DA and send him to a funeral of the mayor who he also killed.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and this bomb ends up exploding right in Batman's face.
He didn't know it was gonna blow up?
No, he did. There was a clear timer on it, so.
So he didn't take cover?
Not even a little, so he goes flying backwards.
Wow, well, I guess that's gonna hurt the exposed bottom of his face.
Not even a little, but he is knocked unconscious.
Ooh, that's gotta be a pretty severe concussion.
Nope. So then the police bring him him to the police building, you know, where you bring injured people.
So they unmask him?
They don't, no. So then he manages to escape by gliding off the top of their building and smacking into a little bridge thing.
I mean, that's gotta be a pretty severe concussion, too.
No.
Okay.
So then eventually Batman thinks that Penguin is this informant that he's looking for, right? So he chases him down and a bunch of cars and trucks explode. It's gonna look very cool.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy intense. But then turns out it wasn't him. You know, that wasn't the informant.
So all those people in the exploded cars died so Batman can follow an incorrect hunch?
That's right.
Whoops.
Whoopsie. And so later Batman's gonna have this conversation with Falcone, and Falcone's gonna be like, hey, did you know your dad paid me to kill a journalist back in the day? Did you know that?
Oh man, that's gonna shatter Batman's world.
It does. So then Batman goes to confront Alfred about this, and Alfred's like, oh yeah, no, that's not true.
Oh.
Yeah, it turns out the crime guy was lying.
That checks out. Yeah, glad that was resolved.
Resolved immediately, yeah.
So what else happens?
Well, eventually Batman's gonna figure out that Falcone, you know, the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's gonna figure out that he's the bad guy.
Right.
So he brings him out of this gangster club called the Iceberg Lounge, and when he's under this streetlight, Riddler snipes him.
Oh.
Yeah, and turns out that's exactly what Riddler wanted Batman to do, because earlier there was a clue about bringing someone out into the light.
That was referencing this exact streetlight?
It was, yeah.
Oh, very vague and also specific.
Yeah, because see, later Riddler's like, there was no way for me to kill that guy otherwise, you know? He's never out in the open.
Oh, okay.
Except for the very public funeral they were both at earlier in the movie.
What?
And so, yeah, then Riddler's in jail and Falcone is dead.
Okay, wow, sounds like a great movie.
Oh, we're not done, sir.
Oh, we're not?
No. It's gonna feel like maybe we should be, but we're gonna keep going.
Oh.
Yeah, see, Riddler actually kind of thought he and Batman were working together.
Okay.
And there's this whole other layer to Riddler's plan. Like, he has a group of followers online that he's been scheming with.
What's the plan?
Flood the city and shoot a bunch of people.
Oh my god, that escalated so much from killing gangsters and crooked politicians.
It did, yeah, because we gotta end these on big set pieces.
I guess we do, yeah. So how does Batman figure this out?
Well, see, Batman figures out that one of Riddler's murder weapons is this tool you use to tuck in carpets.
How does he figure that out?
Well, he happens to run into a cop who happens to start talking about how he happens to have an uncle who works in the carpet business.
Oh, very specific. Uncles are tight.
They sure are, sir. So now Batman looks under this carpet and finds the specifics of Riddler's plan.
Oh, boy.
So now Batman's gotta rush to this arena and fight some Twitch commenters.
What?
Yeah, and it's pretty serious. They're in Riddler cosplay and stuff.
It doesn't sound too serious.
But it's gonna be, and Batman's gonna get a shotgun blast to the chest.
But he's got his completely bulletproof suit, right? So it doesn't hurt him?
Yeah, this time it does. So he's like, ow, 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 ooh, stop, ow, ow, ow. But there are still a bunch of cosplayers around.
Wow, okay. So I guess it's gonna be pretty tough to get out of that situation, huh?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, Batman's got some green juice.
Well, like a smoothie?
No, it's like an injection, and it gives him a real good boost.
What was that?
Unclear.
Oh, okay. Well, good that he had it.
Definitely. So then he's beating up one of the cosplayers, and the cosplayer's like, my name is Vengeance, which is what Batman calls himself.
Oh, freaking nickname stealer.
Yeah, so Batman kind of stops, and he's like, whoa, I guess I sure learned a lesson here today.
Yeah, sure sounds that way.
But then there's this big electrical wire flailing around, and people are gonna get electrocuted because there's water everywhere.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so Batman selflessly cuts the wire and gets electrocuted and falls from super high up.
Oh, my God, is he okay?
Yep. Oh, yeah, he's fine. So... okay, so good. Totally okay. So then he takes a flare and he guides a bunch of people out of this flooded area into, I guess, another flooded area because, you know, everything's flooded.
A very underwater Gotham.
Yeah, and then we'll tease a new Joker because we kind of have to.
We kind of have to.
And then Batman and Catwoman kind of ride their motorcycles next to each other and kind of split off like it's the end of a Fast and Furious movie.
Oh, it sounds like a great movie. Wait, is it done now?
Yeah, 3 hours later, it is, yeah.
Great. Well, it'll be nice to have a good cinematic experience, you know? It seems like everything is just streaming shows these days.
That's so true, sir. It will be nice. And then you know what we can do if it's a success.
What's that?
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So I was thinking we keep making our way down the list of Marvel characters Sony can still use.
Oh, hell yeah. We're basically in the MCU now, did you know?
Yeah, I mean, everybody in this building keeps telling me that, with big smiles on their faces, but with one eye twitching for some reason.
We're pretty much a part of Marvel Studios. Did you know that?
Yeah, all right, sir. So I was thinking we make a movie about Morbius.
I love it. Hey, let's get some Spider-Man involved in here.
Well, actually, he doesn't have much to do with the script. script I've written here. But we're allowed to do it, so let's do it. Let's put like a Spider-Man poster in the background or something. People are gonna go nuts.
Okay.
And then we put that in the trailer.
But it's not gonna make sense in the movie.
Well, we don't have to put it in the movie. As long as it's in the trailer, that's what matters.
Kinda feels like false advertising.
Yeah, let's do some of that. That sounds great.
Well, okay then.
So this guy, Dr. Michael Morbius, has this rare blood disorder, and he's gonna die, probably.
Uh-oh.
But then he develops a potential cure by combining human DNA and vampire bat DNA.
Oh, it sounds superpower origin-y.
It is. But then he tests this thing on himself on a ship in international waters and turns himself into a vampire.
Oh.
Yeah, so now instead of being all sick and thin, he's jacked and muscular, you know, like a bat.
That's not really what bats are known for, but I'm glad you're excited.
Dude's freaking shredded now. He's got like a six-pack, looks like a Calvin Klein underwear model, you know, like a bat.
Okay, cool. What kind of bats you been looking at, though?
So when Morbius turns into a vampire, he's gonna kill a bunch of mercenaries on this boat. Just tear them to shreds. There's gonna be blood everywhere.
PG-13.
There's gonna be blood sound effects everywhere.
Nice.
So then Morbius starts to, like, figure out his powers. He's got, like, bat sonar. He's very strong. His nose goes upwards.
Super-powered upward noses are tight.
But he's gotta drink blood every 6 hours, or he's gonna get sick again and lose his bat six-pack.
Oh, no, so he's gotta keep killing people?
Well, no, because we want Morbius to be a good guy, so he's drinking this synthetic blood he developed.
Oh, okay, great.
But he can feel that that's not gonna sustain him forever. Sooner or later, he's gonna need the real thing. He's gonna be like, you won't like me when I'm hungry. That's kinda like the line from the other thing.
It sure is, sir, kinda.
Wow, 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 wow. So anyway, Morbius also has this childhood friend, Milo, who has the same blood disorder, and he wants to take the cure too.
Oh, yeah, understandable.
But Morbius is like, no, this is a curse, so you die, and I'll figure this out, okay?
Kinda rude.
Kinda. And also, there's this sick little girl that Morbius is taking care of. At a certain point, he's gonna have to put her into a coma.
Oh, no, is she gonna be okay?
I don't know.
You don't?
No, he puts her in a coma, and we never come back to that storyline.
Oh, okay, well, I hope she pulls through.
Me too. So eventually Milo does take the injection thing, and then he frames Morbius for a vampire murder of a nurse.
Oh, why is he an evil vampire?
Because the movie needs a bad guy now.
That makes sense.
So Morbius gets chased by the police and these FBI guys, and he flies up on top of a roof.
Very exciting.
Yeah, and then once he's up there, one of the FBI guys pulls a gun and is like, enough!
How'd the FBI guy get up there so fast?
Unclear.
Oh, okay.
So Morbius ends up breaking out of jail, and now he's on the run.
Thrilling.
Yeah, and at a certain point, his assistant slash love interest, because they're both attractive, is being followed by the FBI.
Uh-oh.
And she manages to lose them and gets on a bus, and Morbius is already on that bus.
How did he know she was gonna get on that bus and get on it before her?
I don't know. Fair enough.
But he's got no choice but to talk to her all secret-like, you know? He's a wanted man.
Of course.
So anyway, they go sit in a coffee shop and have a little chat.
But I thought you just said they needed to be, like, incognito.
Oh, yeah, sir, that was in the bus scene. This is a different scene now, so that doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, okay.
And then Morbius overhears some bad guys talking about this lab they run, so he goes and hijacks it from them.
Oh, you know what? He should scare one of the guys and be like, I'm Venom.
Right, okay, that doesn't really make sense.
But we're allowed to do that. We should do that.
It's just, even if this is in the same universe, we've never made it seem like the average citizen knows the name Venom.
But that's an interconnected thing that we can do, and it'll be good in the trailer.
All right, anyway, so then Morbius uses this lab to create a new injection, and he's like, to bats, this is lethal. To humans, it's deadly.
Those are synonyms.
Yeah, and so his plan is to kill Milo and then himself.
Oh, himself?
Yeah, he thinks it's his responsibility because he's turning into a vampire, you know? He's gonna have to kill people eventually.
Wow, very selfless, you know? That's a good sacrifice.
So then there's gonna be this big fight between Milo and Morbius.
And then what's gonna happen?
Oh, a whole bunch of stuff. I'm almost sure of it. It's gonna be pretty impossible to see, but they're gonna start on a roof and end up in a sewer.
Oh, nice.
And now Morbius has to find a way to kill this guy.
Is that gonna be hard to do?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, he does like a Dragon Ball Z move and shoots a bunch of bats at Milo and then injects them with the thing.
He can do that?
Yeah, because see, because of the gene-slicing bat-human DNA injection, the bats see Morbius as a brother.
Didn't Milo inject himself with the same thing?
He did.
Okay.
So yeah, that worked out great.
And so then Morbius injects himself?
Well, why would he inject himself? That would kill him.
Well, because of that thing where he said it's his responsibility because he's gonna drink human blood.
blood.
Oh, yeah, no, sir, that's from a previous scene. You keep referencing things characters did or said earlier in the movie. You don't have to do that.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, pretty much every scene is a clean slate here. Oh, also, his assistant, she's a vampire now, because why not?
Yeah, why not?
And so that's about it. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like a good time, but needs more Spider-Man references for sure.
Well, okay.
Oh, tell you what, we can use that Doctor Strange spell from No Way Home as an excuse to get Vulture in this thing.
Vulture?
Yeah, we could just have him kind of pop up in a jail cell and be like, I hope the food's better in this joint.
That's not really how Doctor Strange's spell works.
Then they could just let him out of jail because he hasn't done anything wrong in this universe, technically.
Right.
So then he can fly in with his vulture suit and meet up with Morbius.
How does he have a vulture suit in this universe?
And he can be like, not sure how I got here. Has something to do with Spider-Man, I think.
Since I think that suit was made with alien tech from the first Avengers movie, so he doesn't have access.
Then he could be like, I'm still figuring this place out, but I think a bunch of guys like us should team up and do some good.
Ah.
And then Morbius can be like, intriguing.
That's okay. None of that really makes sense at all.
Doesn't matter. Now we can put Vulture in the trailer. It's all connected. We're part of Marvel Studios.
You want me to spruce up any of that dialogue?
No, not even worth the effort.
All right. Amazing.
So who should we get to play Morbius?
Well, tell you what. I hear Jared Leto's looking for a new superhero project to kind of redeem himself after Suicide Squad.
Oh, well, this sounds like the perfect project for that.
So, you have a new Thor movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And let me tell you, he's dumber than ever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just real. He's not smart at all, this guy.
All right, well, I can't wait to see him team up with the Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, we kind of ended Endgame with them taking off onto adventure together.
Oh, yeah, and let me tell you, sir, the Guardians of the Galaxy are gonna be in this.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, just ever so briefly.
What?
So we're gonna meet this guy, Gore, right? And all his people have died, and his daughter, too, even though he's been praying to their god.
Okay.
And then he meets his god, who it turns out is a big old jerk, and then he gets chosen by the Necrosword and kills the god.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so now Gore has become the god butcher, and he's just gonna go on a rampage. He wants all gods to die.
Why?
Well, he thinks they're all selfish and they only care about themselves.
Dang, well, it's gonna be crazy to see him going around butchering gods.
Oh, yeah, except, no, that is gonna be happening off-screen.
But he's the god butcher.
Yeah, so he's off doing that. We're not gonna see that.
I would like to see it.
No.
Ah, dang it.
Anyway, so then we're gonna meet up with Jane Foster.
And what's going on with her?
Well, she has stage 4 terminal cancer.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
Yeah, but don't worry, sir. Everything's still gonna be hilarious all the time.
That wasn't my concern.
Still plenty of jokes per minute, sir. Don't even worry about it.
Right, okay, maybe there shouldn't be in some parts.
We're gonna be cruising at a furious JPM.
All right.
You know those screaming goat videos from the internet?
From like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're bringing that and a bunch of screaming goats the whole time.
All right, I mean, that was really funny 10 years ago. I guess it might still be funny now.
Well, I hope you do like it, sir, because if it doesn't land the first time, it's certainly not going to land the next 7.
Wow, well, gee.
So anyway, Thor finds out from Sif that Gore is butchering all these gods in amazing ways that I'm never going to show you, and he's on his way to New Asgard next.
Oh, no.
Yeah, New Asgard has become, like, super touristy. Like, they have an ice cream shop called the Infinity Cones. It has, like, an Infinity Gauntlet theme.
That kind of seems like it's in poor taste.
No, it tastes fantastic. I mean, it's ice cream.
No, I mean, the Infinity Gauntlet was used in like a worldwide tragedy that's kind of messed up for a theme.
Yeah, nothing a little ice cream can't solve.
That's a good point. Yeah, okay.
So Thor shows up to New Asgard and he sees that Jane is now also a Thor.
What do you mean?
Well, turns out back when they were dating, Thor had asked Mjolnir to protect Jane, so that's what he's doing here.
Wow, well, it's gonna be cool to see her transform for the first time.
Yeah, except no, that's off screen.
That's off screen too. Okay, all right, dang it.
So anyway, now she has this super cool Thor outfit, because that's what happens to you when you wield Mjolnir.
That didn't happen to Captain America when he had it.
Hey, shut up, and so then Gore steals all these children and runs away.
Oh, super rude.
Yeah, and so his plan is to lure Thor, because he just knows he's gonna come to the rescue of these kids.
He believes that all gods are selfish and only care about themselves, so his plan is to capture people that they care about, because they would definitely come help them.
Yes.
Well, okay then.
So Thor goes to the city where a bunch of gods live, including Zeus, and he tries to get them to help, but they're all scared of Gore.
Oh man, all these gods in one place? That's the perfect setup for a Gore the Butcher attack scene.
Oh, you know it, sir.
Anyway.
Oh.
So then they impale Zeus with his own thunderbolt and steal it and run away.
Oh, impaling people and stealing their belongings is tight.
Oh, my God.
That won't hold up in court, by the way. That wasn't an official admission of guilt or confession.
All right, so then they go fight Gore and he steals Stormbreaker.
Why?
Well, it turns out that Stormbreaker is the key to the realm of Eternity, where Eternity will grant one person one wish.
Oh.
What's up?
It just seems like maybe it would have been easier for Thanos to just go there instead of trying to gather all the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
Or for the Avengers to go there for that matter instead of inventing time travel.
Yeah, well see, the thing is, I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about previous Marvel movies.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, thank you very much.
So does Thor just summon Stormbreaker back? That's a thing he can do, right?
Yeah, no, I guess it's not within his summoning range.
He needs to change service provider.
And then they find out that Mjolnir is actually draining Jane's life force, so if she uses it again, she'll die.
I thought Mjolnir was protecting her. Now it's killing her?
Yes.
Dang it, Mjolnir. What the heck?
So Thor is like, all right, well, Jane, you can't come fight with me. And also, Valkyrie got stabbed, and Korg is just a face. He lost his body.
Man, well, it's gonna be hard for Thor to fight Gore on his own.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because see, he's not gonna be alone, actually.
What do you mean?
Well, he lends his Thor powers to all the kids, which is a thing he can do now. So they all fight Gore and his monsters.
Oh, wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, and so then our hero, you know, the guy with the army of child soldiers, attacks the bad guy, who's, you know, the guy who thinks gods should be nicer to people.
That's, I don't know, maybe don't phrase it that way.
Right, okay, the good guy fights the bad guy.
Yeah, definitely keep it vague, that sounds better.
Anyway, then Jane shows up to help too.
But she'll die.
She does, yeah, but then Gore is so moved by their love, when he makes his wish, he doesn't wish for all gods to die.
What does he wish for?
He wishes for his daughter to come back to life, but then he dies, so Thor kind of has a daughter now.
Very cute.
And Korg has his body back and he falls in love.
How did he get his body back?
I don't know, and so that's about it. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, but do you think maybe we're going a little too hard on the Marvel humor?
Sir, it's impossible to lean too hard on the Marvel humor. Trust me.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So, I was thinking we could get The Rock to star as Black Adam.
Oh, which one?
Which Rock?
Yeah.
The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, okay, you know, that makes a lot more sense. I thought there was like about a rock collection you had or something.
You thought I wanted to make a stop-motion Black Adam movie starring a rock from my rock collection?
Listen, I'm very embarrassed, and if we could just move on, I'd appreciate it.
I guess. So anyway, there's gonna be this evil king 5,000 years ago in this place called Kandak, right?
Right.
And he makes this freaking crown that makes you powerful using a rare mineral called Eternium.
Those all seem like they might be words.
Sure.
Thank you.
And this little kid wants to oppose him, and so some wizards give him the power of Shazam, and he becomes a big old hero.
Oh boy, that's good. That's what we want in this movie.
Actually, no, because Black Adam is not a hero.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And so how are we gonna show that he's not a hero?
He's gonna say it constantly.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, later in the movie, there's gonna be a big reveal where we find out that this kid actually transferred the powers to his father and then was killed, so the father became Black Adam.
Oh, they killed Black Adam's son. That is a big reveal. I'm gonna put that in the trailer.
Oh, please don't do that.
It's gonna be good in the trailer.
Alright, so anyway, 5,000 years later, Kandak is now being oppressed by this gang called the Intergang.
That's a terrible gang name.
I don't know what to tell you, sir. They're good at gang stuff, not creative writing.
That's fair.
And so this lady, Adriana, wants to stop the gang from getting this crown, so she goes to get it before them.
How does she find it?
By driving up to the entrance of this cave and going in, and it's just kinda, it's floating there.
Oh, so how was this lost for 5 millennia?
Don't worry about it. But then some Intergang people show up, so she says some words that make Black Adam show up.
Oh boy, here we go.
And so then he shows up and starts killing all the bad guys.
Cool.
Which is a big deal, you know, because heroes, they don't do that. They don't kill.
No, they pretty much all do.
Hey, shut up. So he's not a hero. He's pretty much a villain if you think about it. He's such a bad guy.
Is he killing random people?
No, just like mean evil guys that directly attack him.
So he's pretty much a hero.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Because he, remember, he's going to keep saying he's not. So he's not.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, no, okay, that's my bad. So does he speak in like an ancient language or something?
No, he's just gonna speak in Dwayne Johnson's normal American accent.
How does that work?
That's actually a really good question. It's kind of a combination of magic and Dwayne Johnson probably not being able to do an accent for a full movie.
That makes sense.
So anyway, then Amanda Waller's gonna send the Justice Society to stop Black Adam.
And so who's the Justice Society exactly?
Oh, well, there's Hawkman, and he has like this long historied friendship with Dr. Fate, who loves to dramatically remove his helmet.
That does sound fun.
He does it in every single scene he's in. And then there's also a guy, Adam Smith, Smasher and this girl Cyclone.
And what's their deal?
Well, they're in the movie as well.
Oh, sick.
And so then a big chunk of the movie is going to be the Justice Society following Black Adam around and being like, heroes don't kill people. And he'll be like, I'm not a hero.
He freaking loves saying that. He loves it.
He really does. And we're also going to find out that that Eternium stuff can actually, like, weaken and injure Black Adam.
Oh boy, I bet that's going to come into play later.
Nope, and then so also the leader of the bad guys, Ishmael, he's trying to get the crown. He wants it real bad.
Very rude.
And at a certain point, they actually kidnap Adriana's son.
Uh-oh, kidnapping.
Yeah, Black Adam tried to stop it, but he failed, and so, you know, they got him.
Oh, he didn't get there in time?
No, he did, but instead of taking him from the apartment he was in and flying him far away, he just flew him to a different floor in the same building, so they, you know, they took him.
Yeah, it was a decent strategy, but I could see why that totally didn't work at all.
Yeah, and then they catch up with this bad guy who fires a bullet at the kid, but then Black Adam jumps in and stops the bullet, but makes a big explosion at the same time.
Oh, do people die?
Only the bad guys, and the kid is kind of unconscious.
Wow.
So then Black Adam turns himself in and gives up his powers.
What? Why?
Because of how horribly that just went.
He saved the kid and got rid of the bad guys. That went fine.
Well, he's gonna turn himself in, because we're at a point in the movie where something like that should probably happen.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So they lock him up in this underwater prison inside a water tank with a thing covering his mouth, because if he says Shazam, he turns back into Black Adam.
Feels like the Justice Society is gonna need his help immediately.
But then the Justice Society needs his help immediately!
Oh my god!
Yeah, see, they're in their fancy jet, and the jet detects that the demon Sabacc has appeared.
Their aircraft identifies demons by name?
Yeah, sure, okay, and so it turns out the bad guy actually wanted Black Adam to kill him, because that's what would turn him into this big, powerful demon being.
Uh-oh.
And then Dr. Fate is gonna sacrifice himself.
Oh, why?
Because I was thinking of Pierce Brosnan for the role, and he'll probably only sign on for one movie.
That makes sense.
But before he dies, he telepathically helps Black Adam escape from his little water pod.
So all he's gotta do is say Shazam and he'll get his powers back?
Exactly. So he's gotta fight all these guards and then get to the door of this prison thing and then swim up to the surface and remove his mouth thing and say Shazam.
Why doesn't he just remove the thing from his mouth and say Shazam as soon as he gets out of the pod?
Because this is slightly more dramatic. So then he does say it and he flies in to help.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Wow.
But then also, Adriana's son has to convince a bunch of people to rise up and go fight, because the whole city's going nuts.
Man, it's gonna be hard for a child to get the attention of a bunch of screaming adults.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, he stands up on a little thing and talks to all of them at, like, a normal speaking volume, and they all stop what they're doing and listen to him.
And that works?
It does, yeah. And so then all these people are like, hey, let's listen to this very quiet kid and rise up together.
And what are they all gonna go fight, exactly?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, there are skeleton zombies now.
What?
Yeah, 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 some little skeleton zombies showed up, so they all gotta fight those and regain the control of the city from the skeleton zombies that appeared.
Isn't the city being run by a gang? Wouldn't it make more sense to rise up against them?
Well, they're human, so that could get messy if they die, so no, it's gonna be a soulless CGI army, so there's no, like, moral implications when they kill these beings.
Smart.
So Adriana and some other characters are gonna be fighting these skeleton zombies, and then the kid rounds the corner on a skateboard with all these people behind him, and he's like, yo, mom!
Oh, cool 90s kids are tight.
It's not the 90s, sir. He's just a cool skateboard kid who says, yo, mom, and wisecracks with Black Adam like he's John Connor from Terminator 2.
That movie from the early 90s?
Yes.
All right.
And so then Black Adam kills the demon guy, and everybody's very happy about it.
Amazing.
And then in a post-credit scene, Amanda Waller sends Superman to talk to Black Adam.
She can send Superman places?
I guess so, sir.
And so what does Superman say?
He says, let's openly talk about this scene in interviews so people come see this movie.
I love that. I love that.
And so, yeah, that's about it. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. I say we get the ball rolling on this right now.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We're gonna fast track this one.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's a sequel to a super popular movie, and it's gonna have blue people underwater.
But Avatar 2? Marvel doesn't make those, you silly goose.
No, actually, I'm talking about Black Panther 2.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, that series is in our repertoire.
That's not how that's pronounced. So anyway, obviously, we're gonna start the movie with a nice tribute to Chadwick Boseman. You know, the Marvel logo's just gonna be him.
Of course.
And in the movie, T'Challa's gonna pass away from an illness, and Shuri's gonna be trying to save him by making that heart-shaped herb synthetically, but
she's not gonna manage.
Wow.
Yeah, so throughout the movie, Shuri and the Wakandans are kind of dealing with the passing of T'Challa while also dealing with this new threat that emerges.
Oh, what's the threat?
Oh, it's freaking Namor.
How do you pronounce that?
You know, everybody in the movie's gonna say it differently. I guess there's no wrong way to say it.
Oh, I'm gonna pronounce it Namor.
Okay, no, maybe there is a wrong way.
Like a hungry little kid asking for seconds of his favorite dessert. Namor. Is that cool?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely not cool.
Well, okay then. So why does this guy want to fight Wakanda?
Well, it's a long story, but see, this guy's the leader of a secret underwater nation called Talokan, and they also have vibranium, right?
Now, that's the stuff that makes all the cool things do all the cool things.
Yeah, and since Wakanda told the whole world about vibranium, the CIA started looking for some with a vibranium-detecting machine.
What does that machine do?
It detects vibranium.
That's probably why they called it that.
That's absolutely why it's called that, sir. And since the CIA found some vibranium underwater, Namor is like, hey, Wakanda, this is your fault. What the heck?
Oh.
So he's like, now you gotta go get me the scientist that made the machine.
I mean, if the machine was purchased by the CIA, they probably already looked into how to make more. What's the point of getting the scientist girl?
So we can introduce Riri Williams to the MCU before her show premieres on Disney Plus.
Oh, okay, yeah, that is urgent. Get her in here real quick.
So Namor just kind of shows up in Wakanda and says all this to Shuri and the Queen.
Do they not have security for the waterways headed into Wakanda?
I mean, they must, but Namor's so good, he bypasses them.
How does he manage that?
With his, you know, water skills, I guess. It's off screen, so he just comes and goes as he pleases.
Oh, coming and going as he pleases, tight.
Sure, sure. So now Shuri and Okoye have to go get Riri or Wakanda's gonna be attacked.
Why don't they send more backup with them?
Unclear, but so then Shuri and Riri get taken to Talokan underwater.
Uh-oh, tough to breathe underwater.
And so Namor shows Shuri how beautiful his nation is and tells her his origin story and why he hates everybody.
Understandable.
I didn't even tell you why he hates everybody.
I know, I just... I get it.
Okay, that's alarming. So anyway, he's like, hey, we should team up and burn the world down. And if you refuse, I'm gonna destroy Wakanda first.
They're gonna wage war with the entire planet?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do they plan on taking on landlocked countries with beluga whales and hot air balloons?
Well, I wouldn't laugh, sir. You know what they say about beluga whales? You never know when they're gonna strike.
That's not true.
It might be. So anyway, eventually Nakia comes and rescues them and they head back to Wakanda.
Nice.
But then Namor and his people are gonna attack and they've got water, they've got fish, they've got really good singers that'll make you kill yourself.
What?
And Namor has tiny little wings on his feet.
Aww.
And then he drowns the queen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then he tells Shuri, all right, I'm gonna give you guys some time to regroup, okay? Does a week sound good? I'm gonna head out for a week or so.
Why would he do that?
So they have time to prepare for the final battle of the movie.
Okay.
So then Shuri freaking figures out how to synthesize that flower and she becomes the Black Panther.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Wow.
And she gives Okoye a weird Power Ranger suit, and they make Riri a suit.
Is everybody just kind of getting suits now?
That's right, sir. Several people are kind of Iron Man now.
Wow, and how did they get all that done in such a short amount of time?
Montage.
Gotcha.
So now it's time for the big final battle, and they've figured out their plan of attack.
What's their plan?
They're gonna head out to the ocean and fight the ocean guy and his people there.
Isn't that the enemy's home turf?
Yes.
Isn't that where the enemy will have the biggest advantage?
Oh, absolutely.
That doesn't seem like the best plan.
Well, that's the one they're going with. Also, they realize if they dry Namor, they can weaken him a bit.
But what, are they gonna attack him with a blow dryer?
No, that'd be ridiculous.
All right.
It's more of like a space heater type thing.
Oh, okay.
So the Wakandans head to the ocean for this fight and, you know, really get their butts kicked.
Yeah, because that's where the enemy's at their strongest.
For sure, for sure. But Shuri's gonna manage to dry Namor off a little bit and get him on land, so they're gonna fight while he's weakened.
Oh, great.
But then she gets badly impaled, you know, right through her.
Oh my God, well, it's gonna be impossible for her to beat this guy with that kind of injury.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because see, check this out. What she does is she's fine immediately.
Oh.
Yeah, all good right away, so.
But what about the severe impaling wound?
Hey, shut up. So then she's about to kill this guy, but then she's like, hey, what about an alliance? And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, sure, an alliance.
And she trusts the word of this guy who just killed her mom and made that promise under the threat of death?
Yes.
Well, great.
And so, yeah, then we find out that the Black Panther had a kitten and we're done.
What?
So what do you think?
Well, it sounds like a great movie and a nice tribute to Chadwick Boseman.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is gonna fit right in with all the other fantastic movies we'll be releasing in 2022.
Oh yeah, people are gonna love them all, sir.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, bro, I do. I think it's about time for another Avatar movie.
Oh yeah, bring those blue kitty cats back in here. I can't wait to see what's going on with, the main character,
Jake Sully.
Right, no, I know. That's a thing that I knew for more than 1 week in December 2009.
Well, Jake Sully's back, sir, and we're heading back to that planet everybody knows and loves.
Which is called...
The
Pandora.
Pandora. I said it at the same time as you is because of how much I love and remember.
Great. So I'm thinking we go big on this one. Like, I want to set a world record on this bad boy.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Highest grossing movie of all time.
Maybe.
So what?
Movie with the most frequent use of the word bro.
Ah.
Yeah, they're going to say bro a crazy number of times.
All right.
Bro.
Bro.
Is that gonna get annoying, maybe, you think?
It won't, bro, because that's how kids talk these days, bro. It's brolatable.
Did you just say brolatable?
Anyway, we're back on Pandora, and it's been like 10 years since the events of the first movie, and Jake has a bunch of kids.
Oh, getting busy with their tails or whatever is tight.
Yeah, so they did whatever that was, and now they have Nateum, Loic, Took, and Kiri.
Is that one name?
No, that's four names.
Fascinating.
And so Kiri's like this teenager that was mysteriously born from Grace Augustine's avatar. You know Sigourney Weaver's character from the first movie?
Oh, who are we gonna get to play this teenager?
I got just the person, Sigourney Weaver.
You think it's gonna be kinda weird to hear a senior citizen's voice coming out of a kid?
Well, yeah, maybe, but also, maybe not.
Oh, I like those odds.
Anyway, so another kid they're raising is this human kid, Spider.
And what's his deal?
Well, he's actually the son of Quaritch, you know, the main bad guy from the first movie.
Oh, and so who's gonna be the main bad guy in this movie?
Quaritch, you know, the main bad guy from the first movie?
Nice.
Oh, wait, no, he died in the first movie, I'm pretty sure. Whoops.
Nope, not a whoopsie. You're not getting a whoopsie out of me.
No whoopsie?
No whoopsie, sir.
See, the thing is, humans are actually back on Pandora now, and Jake is leading the resistance against them.
Okay.
And turns out the humans had a backup of Quaritch his mind and memory, so they shove that into an avatar body.
Wow, well, I guess they really wanted the expertise of, you know, a guy who did not succeed last time he tried something like this.
Yeah, they put a bunch of money and resources into bringing back the best guy for the job, the guy who failed spectacularly last time and literally died.
It's not a bad plan.
So anyway, Quaritch and his squad pretty much immediately run into Jake's kids, so Jake and Neytiri need to go save them.
Wow, well, that little squad doesn't stand a chance against Jake and his whole tribe.
Oh, no, Jake and Neytiri don't bring any backup.
Why not?
So the movie can happen.
Oh, okay.
So Quaritch ends up kidnapping his son Spider, and Jake's like, well, I guess I gotta resign as head of the resistance and move away with my family.
What? Why?
Well, if they stick around, they'd be putting everybody in danger. You know, they can't win a fight against Quaritch.
They literally did that in the last movie.
Hey, shut up. So they move away and go live with this water clan. That's all about water.
Oh, water is different from forest.
And for the next long stretch of the movie, it's gonna be kinda like a nature documentary with some teenage angst sprinkled in.
And what's Jake gonna be up to?
Oh, you're gonna like this. He's gonna lecture his kids a couple times.
I do like watching disciplinary lectures.
Everybody does.
And so eventually Jake's son Loak becomes friends with a big old space whale.
A big old space whale?
A big old space whale. So they hang out, and then also Kiri has superpowers now. She can like communicate with creatures and whatnot.
Well, good for her.
Yeah, so she's having a great time. Pretty much the whole movie while people are arguing or fighting, she's just looking around like, oh. Okay, oh wow.
Nice.
But eventually the bad guys are gonna figure out where Jake is, so they're gonna keep on going with their mission of trying to kill him.
Well, I mean, Jake's gone and he's not the leader of the resistance anymore. Why is their top priority still trying to take him out?
Well, cause see, that's the plot of the movie.
That works.
So Quaritch teams up with these people who actually hunt those big old space whales, and they want to kill some of them to lure Jake out.
Why do those guys hunt big old space whales?
Because their frickin' brain juice stops people from aging.
So what happened to that stuff the humans were after in the first movie?
Unobtainium?
Yeah.
They were unable to obtain it.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah, that checks out.
But the thing about these big old space whales is that they're very hard to kill.
Then how'd they find out about the magical brain juice in the first place?
I don't know. Well, okay then.
So then Jake and the ocean people do get lured out, and there's gonna be a big old fight.
Oh boy, here we go.
And a big old space whale's gonna help them out, and it's gonna be crazy, and Nateum is gonna die.
Oh no.
Yeah, and so the Sully family are very sad, but Quaritch and a couple of his guys are still alive.
Well, it's gonna be hard for a couple of bad guys to stand a chance against all the ocean people.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, it's actually just gonna be Jake and his family fighting these dudes now.
What? What happened to the ocean people?
Oh no, those guys, they all left. They had to go away.
They're just not there for the final fight.
Yeah, no, because there was like some fire on the water, so they gotta, you know, head out. They gotta leave early.
Yeah, they dive into the water under the fire.
Hey, shut up. And so the big final action scene is gonna take place on this big ship that's sinking.
Isn't that kind of similar to...
Yeah, James Cameron specifically requested that. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, this guy freaking hates when sea vessels float as intended.
He really does. And so then Jake is gonna manage to choke Quaritch unconscious and let him sink to the bottom.
Wow.
But then that spider kid's gonna save him.
What? Why?
Sequel.
He probably just caused a lot of future pain and suffering for his loved ones.
Sequel.
You know, all right, you make a good point.
And so that's about it. What do you think?
Well, I mean, the first movie made an insane amount of money, so I'm pumped. Let's get this out ASAP.
Let's do it.
What are you thinking, like a 2014 release date?
That sounds like a great release year. Let's lock it in.
Hey everybody, Ryan Jordy here. Thank you for watching that pitch meeting. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to like and subscribe and leave a comment down below. Let me know if you liked the other videos, and we have other videos on the channel too. So be sure to like and subscribe. Thank you. Bye. I think I nailed that.